Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me on the broadcast today as we continue a message I've entitled Celebration of New Wine. We were looking at a passage in the Gospel of John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11, and it describes the very first miracle that Jesus did, and that was turning water into wine at the marriage in Cana, and at the request of his mother, and the comment of the governor, the ruler of the feast, when he had tasted the wine, said, "You save the good wine until now." And as we look at this, I've sensed the Holy Spirit wanting to just refresh your memory. You may have heard messages for years preached on this, but God wants us to have an experience of the fullness of our cup running over. Wine is a symbol of exhilaration and celebration. As I've said, it was very important in the culture of that day. And so the Lord tells us, he says in Isaiah 55 and 1, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, yea, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And even as Christians, there comes a time in our lives sometimes when we feel the wine has run out. Certainly for those living in the world, the joy and exhilaration of life fades away. The good times pass. Millions of people in this nation have the so-called good life. They have a home, two or three cars, a recreational vehicle, a boat, everything that is supposed to give the ultimate of happiness. And yet, so many are desperately unhappy, so many committing suicide in almost epidemic proportions. Immoral sex has taken its toll on the lives of so many, and many are dying around the world of epidemics that and diseases that are incurable. We, man, has played the harlot before God, and the wine has run out. But beloved, there is hope. There is new hope. There's new wine. There's new oil. There's new bread. For believers, if you're hungry, come and eat. Come to the table of the Lord. That's what the Lord is calling us this week. There's been an invitation to receive from His hand. He wants to fill our lives with spiritual joy. Christ brings excitement to our lives. He brings life and hope and joy. Do you remember when you were first saved? Can you remember and think back to how you got up in the morning, how you looked at life? Everything was so wonderful, and you just couldn't hold back the wonderful news that you'd been saved. I remember in my life, I remember calling relatives long distance on the phone and just sharing, "Oh, I've come to Jesus," and just expressed and shared my testimony of what God had done. That kind of joy and the fervor of that first love, we need that restored. We need that joy restored. And let me just say right now, there is nothing wrong with the natural joys of life that God has given us. But there comes a time when there is nothing that brings us excitement. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. But Christ gives us spiritual life. He not only gives us just the natural life in which we have. If it wasn't for Him, none of us would, you know, our next breath we can't depend on if it wasn't for Him. But He also gives us quality of life. He gives us an abundant life. He said, "I come not to just give you life, but life more abundant. What was he talking about? He was talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, that wonderful peace that comes. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations, but it's joy, righteousness, joy, and peace in the peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what the Lord has for us today, and it's his desire, it's my desire, that God's people will be so filled with the Spirit of God that joy and peace will flow from them, that rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being, as the scriptures declare, and that refers to the Spirit of God. Jesus had a greater purpose in turning those water pots full of water into wine. Jesus' mother spoke to the host of the wedding in Cana, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." 6 water pots were filled with water and set before Jesus. And of course, perhaps you are aware and understand that 6 is the number of man. It represents man as far as the significance of numbers in Scripture. And the water pots were used for purification rites. Each water pot had about 30 gallons in it. Jesus was saying that the old ritual was dead, and he was filling those water pots, his people, with new life. Jesus gives us abundant joy. He makes the natural joys of life more wonderful. Have you found that to be true? Now, we all face sorrows. There are seasons in our lives, and sometimes there's seasons of affliction and seasons of abundance. God knows when to bring those seasons into our lives because he has an ultimate purpose. The Holy Spirit has an ultimate purpose, and that is to prepare us for fellowship with the Lord in all eternity. And how is that best accomplished? By conforming us to the image of Christ. And I have said so frequently, this is the purpose of fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He wants his people to be empowered and anointed so they literally can do the work of the ministry, so they can be edified, so they can be built up, so they can have that same anointing. God does not expect the pastor of the church to do all the work, to go out and win souls. If God provides opportunities, of course, we all are able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. We should always be able to give an account of the joy that is within us and the hope that is within us. But beloved, his people are being fitly framed together as a body of Christ, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's raising us up as kings and priests unto our God, those of us who willingly know him and love him and serve him. We don't know. Who knows all the things that we'll be doing in the ages to come? But when we know this for a fact, that when Jesus returns, we will have positions of responsibility and authority. We will rule as kings and priests. Kings minister to men, and priests minister to the Lord. And he has washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation says that first chapter, and has made us kings and priests unto our God. Beloved, you have a holy calling. You have a destiny on your life, and every one of us is different. He has fitted us as he desires in the body of Christ, and he's given to all of us gifts. They're not all the same, and there is no competition or need for jealousy or envy in the body of Christ, because each one of us is unique. Each one of us has special giftings given by the Holy Ghost, and he desires that we should seek his face and that we should allow his anointing to be upon us, that we should utilize the gifts. You remember the parable of the talents? One was given 10, another 5. The one who had one, he was afraid. He said, "I know you're a harsh master, and so I went and hid it." And he was rebuked. He said, "You should at least have put that in the bank so I could receive interest on it." And to whom much is required, much is given, much is required. And beloved, no matter what the size of our giftings, if you will, no matter how many the talents, God simply requires. He doesn't look at your neighbor and say, well, you know, you don't measure up to what he's doing or she's doing. No, he looks at you. You have no one to answer to except the Lord Jesus. Will you stand before him? And will he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? For the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, beloved, the Spirit of God is calling and wooing you into a deeper place in your God. And I would have you to know with a confidence and with an assurance and with a certainty that I am your God who is with you, as I was with the prophets of old, as I was with my servants throughout the ages. I am with you to strengthen you, to help you, to uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You shall fear no evil, for I am with you. I have given my word that you should meditate and contemplate the very exceeding great and precious promises of your God, to know that I have much more yet for you that you have not yet experienced. I have spiritual understanding and revelation to impart to you that you must open your heart to receive. Enlarge the place of your tent, says the Lord. Stretch out your cords, for I would fill you, yea, with a greater understanding, with a greater influence. I would cause your sphere of influence, your sphere of availability for me to be enlarged, to be increased, and I shall bless the work of your hands, and the very beauty of your God shall be upon you with an anointing and fragrance of Christ that shall draw men to me, says the Lord. Praise God. Father, I thank you for that work. I thank you, Lord, for the work and the word you are, the work that you are doing in our lives through the very word of God. Thank you for these precious people, Lord. Thank you for my partners. Thank you for those who listen faithfully and regularly. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in their lives, and that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think, that you and Jesus alone will receive the glory. I thank you for it. Praise God. Well, we will, with the Lord's help, conclude this message tomorrow. I invite you to tune in. I do and ask and invite you to continue in prayer for me, for Unveil Christ Ministries. Share your prayer requests. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.